What's up, guys? Before we begin this podcast, I want to let you know that we got a new Patreon out. Patreon.com/ChadGoesDeep. We got bonus episodes each week, classic Chad and JT episodes. Trust me, you don't want to miss out. The reviews are in and they are stellar. I'm talking Siskel and Ebert. Yeah, they said 10 thumbs up. So you don't want to miss out on that. Patreon.com/ChadGoesDeep for bonus content each week. We also got new tour dates coming up. We're going to be in Plano, Texas, and Houston, Texas, on the 17th and 18th of June. That's coming up soon, guys. That's, when does this come out? It's coming next week. So get on tickets, chadandjt.com for all tour dates and tickets. We're also going to be coming back east in Chicago and Nashville, North Carolina, South Carolina. What up? So check it out. We're also brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, and making sure their dinks are looking fresh and clean, because bum, bum, bum. All men strive for gold in their life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, and a gold dink. But this time, you could have a platinum dink. That's right. Manscaped is offering the Platinum Package 4.0. It's the leader in below-the-waist grooming, and you can trust them with the whole shebang. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% plus free shipping with the code GODEEP. Check it out. All right, let's start the show. Drizzle on the sauce and flick my bean. What's up, Stokers of Stoke Nation? This is Chad Kroger coming in with the Going Deep Chad and JT podcast. I'm here with my compadre, Jean Thomas. What up?
Boom clap, Stokers.
And we're here, we got Jake in the building. What's up, Jake?
What's up, guys? Good to be here.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, brother.
Thank you.
How you living?
I'm good, dude.
Nice.
Yeah. I've been living.
Living.
What about you, though?
I'm good. I came back from Vegas. I'm still recovering. I think it's a once a year thing for me.
Nice.
I can't do it, dude.
You looked like you were having fun, though.
I'm having fun, but when it's like 2 days, 2-3 days of recovery, I'm just like, I woke up today, I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I think some people are able to compartmentalize the kind of like the hurt you feel afterwards, but I don't know.
Yeah, some people don't get that hungover.
Yeah.
You get hungover, dude. But, dude, that's okay. It's okay to have hangovers.
No, it's not.
No, I don't mean it's okay.
No, I know. I know. But in my mind, I'm just so, I get so, I get hangover. I'm like, why? Why me?
Mm-hmm.
I get very, I don't know. But it's all good. I mean, I had a great time.
We all have our things. Yeah. We all have our things that we can't do that other people can do. It does suck.
It does suck. I had a great time, though. It was a lot of fun. It
looked like you were having a blast.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. We saw, went to, you know, nightclub that night. Lewis and the Child were playing. Do you know them?
I'm not super familiar, but I know they're important.
Yeah. They seemed important, yeah. And then saw Zed at the pool party. That was sick. Vegas pool party is like...
It's the best.
That's peak living.
I agree.
The sun is so hot there, though.
It burns. You got to get in the water.
Yeah, you feel it and you're like, oh. But, and then saw Limp Bizkit that night, which is like bucket list.
Yeah, what was Limp Bizkit like?
It was awesome. Fred was, I mean, they're good live, but they play around with the stage. Like Pauly Shore came on and like they have these little like skits where this guy's like talking about like, I forget what he's talking about. He's talking about how he's like, you know, you said in your set list you're going to do this, this, and this, Fred, and you're not living up to your contract. And then they like have some guy like tackle him. He's like, get that dude off stage. All he cares is about is money. I was like, it was very 90s. And the whole time he's like, we're going to do this like 1999. All right, people. He was like very much like, kind of like, we're still in that era.
What was the age of the crowd?
Oh, dude, it was awesome. It was like 40 year olds.
That's the best.
Yeah. Dude, on the way we were driving, so we drove there, Candy and I wanted to drive there, which I thought it'd be cool to do like a road trip, you know? But the road was so hot, or it was so hot going there, it was probably like 106, that the car like overheated. So there's one point where I was driving and basically the engine just like turned off. And so I was like in the middle of like the 15 on the huge freeway, in the middle lane, and I just lost all gas. Like I could not go. So the car was just silly. And I was like, do I pull over? But I couldn't pull over because there were like semis coming on, you know, and like I had no gas. So like, it just like stopped. And I was like, oh fuck. And then I just, she's like, just turn it back on. So I hit the thing and turned back on, then just started going again. But
oh, it was normal after that?
Yeah. It's scary shit though. Yeah. But
what was going through your head?
I was like, we're fucked. I don't know.
Were you thinking about your lady too? Were you like,
yeah, because she was asleep. And I was like, what's going on? It was her car. I'm like, what's going on?
You woke her up a little rough.
I woke her up. Like, we're fucking in the middle of the highway. And she's like, pull over. I'm like, I can't. There's like, I can't. There's semis coming. That's what freaked me out the most. I'm like, if I had pulled over and the semi just hit us, dude.
That'd be bad news.
So that freaked me out for, you know, a few hours, but that's okay.
Did you feel any like increased appreciation for life after you guys got moving again?
Yeah, I guess I felt like I was like, oh man, it's fragile for sure. You never know.
Kissed a little deeper. loved a little longer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So that's basically my trip. I didn't gamble at all. She's really good at gambling.
What was she playing?
Blackjack.
It's a good game.
She grew up in Reno, so.
She knows it.
Yeah.
Can she count cards?
No. But she's just knows the games.
She gets it.
So I'd be like, nice hand, babe. I was just watching. I was like, way to go.
Dude, that's so supportive.
I was like, nice bet. Way to go. So, yeah. How's your weekend?
It was good, dude. It was fun. What did I do? I had a banging Saturday. I hung out with Dan Milstein.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. And
he's my quote of the week this week. He had a great fire quote that he was repeating from a great film that we'll probably discuss later. And then I hung out with a stoker, Chris Friedman. Did. Great guy.
Nice.
Good dude. We went to the Grove. Then I worked out with Grady.
Nice.
Good workout. And then I did something after that, and I can't remember. But it was all fun.
That's cool.
Oh, I got dinner with Greg and Melissa.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Lovely. At this great restaurant in Los Feliz called All Time.
Nice.
I got the venison.
What's that?
I don't know. It's delicious. I think it's deer.
Yeah, it sounds like a kind of meat.
It's elk.
Elk.
Oh, it's elk.
Yeah.
I knew it was part of the horn family. And
are elk and deer different?
I think so. Elk are bigger.
Oh, okay.
They got a nice rack on them. Right. Why are you laughing?
Just the way you said it. Like, she's got a nice rack on her, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do like boobs, too. But I just meant their horns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, it was so fun. And then I spent the rest of the weekend hanging out with a lady I've been seeing.
Is that fun?
It was fun. She's
nice.
The best.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
I have a name for her. She's a more private person, so I have a way that I'll be referring to her on the podcast.
Yeah.
Hold me close.
Sounds like you guys are your bond is deepening.
Yeah, for sure. It's there.
You guys hung out all day Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, we drank pina coladas by the pool.
Oh, hell yeah. What pool?
She has a little pool at her place.
Oh, nice. Did she make them?
The pina coladas, yeah.
Does she know how to make them?
She did, yeah.
She like blended and shit?
She blended in a Nutribullet.
Oh, wow.
And then
kind of boozy, but in that rum.
Rum, which I don't drink a lot. So I'm not a big mixed drink guy or drinks guy. I mean, I understand why other people enjoy it, but for me, it's alcohol is just a vehicle to get to a feeling.
Right. I feel that.
And so I'm not trying to like, you know, do an old fashioned and figure out what the ingredient difference is restaurant to restaurant. I'm just like, I'd like to be drunk.
Yeah. I've never felt that with that thing where it's like, when people are like, yeah, I like to have a nice whiskey on the rocks and stuff. And I was younger, I'd be like, maybe I could be a whiskey guy. Maybe I could be that guy. And you'd like try whiskey on the rocks and you'd just be like, he'd just make that face, like that grimace every time. You're just like, yeah, it's good.
Like, I still do that. I still make a face.
Go, yeah. Wah. Yeah. Like the one drink thing to me, never been a fan of it.
No, I never got used to it.
It's like either it's a Diet Coke or six tequilas.
That sounds perfect. I love ripping shots of tequila.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about Top Gun too.
We should.
It's important.
It's epic.
Yeah, so you couldn't make it the night we saw it with the fellas.
Yeah.
And we wore the flight suits because you got your booster and you were recovering. But you did see it.
I saw it. I was gonna, because I was talking to you and Strider about, you guys were like, we're gonna go see it again, don't worry. But then it was like the next night, and I was like, I can't wait. So I went to see it, and it was everything I want it to be and more. It's so good.
It's a crowd pleaser. It's in the best sense of the word.
I don't know if I've ever been that stoked. Like, because I was sitting with my girlfriend the whole time. I just look at her and be like, can you believe this shit?
I did a lot of that too.
This is so fucking awesome. A lot of thumbs up.
Yeah. Someone would just happen to look at your friend and be like, just a nice solid thumbs up.
I saw this thing about it. Like, so many guys were like the ones crying in the movie. You know, and they're with their girlfriends, and they're the ones like bawling and stuff. And their girlfriend's like, "What's going on?" And you're just like, "It's just so beautiful."
It is. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It has something similar to Creed, where where there are these old movies, like now I guess you would call them even Top Gun a franchise, but they've been in your life for so long that when you revisit them and they bring characters back from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like characters. Like when they talk about Goose being gone, I got sad. Like it was a genuine family member who I had lost. Mm-hmm. I was like, he was a good man.
Yeah.
He helped the people around him.
Yeah.
And he was a patriot.
Yeah.
The world is worse without Goose. My brain wasn't even registering this is a movie character. It was just like, Goose is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a friend.
Yeah.
This means a lot.
For sure. No, and Tom Cruise looks so good too.
Looks incredible. He's a 57 now.
Is he really?
And he looks good. He's a little flabbier with his shirt off in the scene. They only give him one torso shot.
Yeah, his body like shape overall is a little bit kind of.
It's always left peculiar. A little bit to be desired. He's got a big rib cage and kind of small pecs. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He looks good though. He's in great shape.
It made me want to get, you know, a white tee and some aviators for sure.
It's a money outfit. The football game they were playing, I couldn't make heads or tails of that.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I was not a big fan of that choice. You know, I was obviously a huge fan of shirts off. We're going to do some sports, but I was not a big fan of the, you know, the choice of game. It just didn't match up to volleyball.
They should have just done volleyball again.
Yeah.
And they could have shot it in a way where it looked like better volleyball.
Yeah. I understand why they did what they did, but just keep the volleyball in.
Yeah, it almost felt like they were afraid. Yeah. Like there's no way this scene will be as iconic as the original, so let's not even try.
I mean, dude, if I were one of the actors, if I were like Glenn Powell or Miles Teller, I would be afraid to shoot that.
It's a lot of pressure, but they got their rigs looking.
Their rigs were
on point.
Yeah, they didn't mess around.
They had some bodies on them, dude.
Dude, fucking GP.
He shredded. He was cool. Hangman.
He has such a he seems like a good guy, but he does have that such a great kind of like I'm a cocky douche face, like smarmy. That sort of like where his like he like gives like that smirk and it's just like just
the angle of his cheeks.
Yeah
for sure.
I
loved it. I love that every solution to every problem in the movie is that Maverick just has to do something totally badass and outside the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's no way we can fix this. The mission's over. And then Maverick's like, unless I break all the fucking rules and show you guys all what pussies you've been. That's like the solution to every problem. Yeah. And I loved it. The crowd loved it. Like the whole theater was like, yes, that is how you fix it. And I was like, fuck yeah, we need this attitude. It's a can-do spirit that, you know, sometimes, I don't know if it's ever lacking, but I love to be reminded of it.
Totally.
Man, it was incredible.
That movie feeling so good.
I was so happy. I was so happy afterwards.
Yeah. John Hamm, it's funny in interviews, you can tell he's sort of like, he's like, I'm sorry I have to be the boner in this story.
He's a schmuck
but
in the movie.
I'm an actor and that's what I have to play, but I'm so fucking sorry.
I felt bad for him. Legit. Yeah. I was like, sucks for John Hamm. Yeah. Like, especially because in Mad Men, like, you know, he's a head case, but he's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in this, he's the least cool. He's a fuddy-duddy all the way through.
If you're anti-Maverick in the Top Gun universe, you're a knob.
Yeah, it didn't have the cool old guys that the first Top Gun had. Because, like, the dude in charge of the carrier and Tom Skerritt and Michael Ironside, they're all kind of badasses because you get to see them fly too, but you don't get that in this one. Do you know what else I love about Top Gun? And my brother pointed this out that they did this in the original. Like in the original Top Gun, they never say Russian.
Mm-hmm.
They say MiG. That's the closest they come to identifying it as Russian, but they just say the other side.
Yeah.
And in this one, you don't know what country we're fighting against in our mission and they never show you their faces.
Yeah.
So I would thought it'd be so funny if it would have been a good twist if 3/4 of the way through the movie, the guy, the bad guy takes off his mask and he's an alien. They've been fighting aliens the whole time.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been outside the, you know, established reality. It would have been like, yeah, kind of a setup, like they're aliens.
You fucking asshole. Yeah.
It was sick. And then what did you think about Teller as Rooster?
I'm going to be honest. I did not want to like him at first. I just came into it and I was like, I don't want it. And then he won me over.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about you?
I liked him. Yeah. Yeah. Similarly, he seems like maybe not the coolest guy off camera based off like one GQ article.
Yeah.
But no, I really liked him in the movie. I thought he had the right energy and he took me on a journey. I was rooting for him.
He played it well. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Dude, spoilers? I'm just going to go big time spoilers here.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you don't want to hear this. The ending of the new Top Gun is Star Wars completely.
Mm.
Like, the flight path isn't the same, but it's like the same idea. They have to hit like a very small target. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then even as Rooster is flying, T. Cruz is talking to him and he's almost like the Force when Luke hears the Force and shoots it out. And then when they're flying away and you think like they're going to get shot down, Hangman is just like Han Solo in Star Wars coming in at the 11th hour to save the day. The kind of cocky guy who you don't know if you can trust.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh dude, it's like mapped out exactly as Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's the hero's journey.
I mean, it makes sense. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
But I was like, do they know? They must know that we know that they're doing the exact ending of Star Wars. But maybe it's been long enough. It's like 50 years old.
Yeah. I think, you know, I can totally see it, but I didn't think about it in the moment. I guess the shot of the path of the missile and stuff, you know, looked peculiar in terms of similarity, but I didn't really think about it at all.
Yeah. It's just like the final mission is a kamikaze flight to hitting a very small target, and then you got to get away before the baddies get you. I mean, maybe that's true of a lot of aviation style climaxes, but I was like, whoa, it's weird. It's very, very similar.
Yeah, I didn't think about it, but you know, I guess I was so worried that they were gonna kill Maverick the whole time. I was like, don't do it. I was like, don't fucking kill Maverick. So the fact that they didn't, I was happy that they didn't.
Yeah, that would have been too much of a bummer.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I guess just because we studied story and story structure and stuff, you kind of know where it's headed.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you know someone's got to sacrifice, save someone.
Yeah.
They got to get your emotions going.
Yeah. You just know that the conflict will just keep escalating more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, it's just the hero's journey for sure.
What else went down?
I was so fired up, though.
I guess it broke a record for the 4-day box office.
Did it?
Yeah. So it made an estimated $156 million in 4 days.
Wow.
And the last film that came close was Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, which made $153 in 2007. So,
is it the highest grossing of all time?
Just in a 4-day period, it is.
How much did it make?
$156 million in a 4-day period, it says.
Nice.
But then it also says that there's not another major film on the docket till June 9th. So that, like, it's got to, they think
right,
it's
so there's life. Not, it's not be, competing with much.
Yeah. Like, they think its life will be really good. So.
Yeah.
And everyone just loves Tom Cruise.
They do.
Birth name Tom Mapother.
Really?
Tom Apather.
When did he go with Cruise?
I don't know, but he picked the perfect name for who he is.
Yeah.
Does anyone cruise more than Tom Cruise? If he was Tom Apather, I don't know who he is today.
Yeah.
He's not who he is today.
Yeah.
Be something else.
Cruise is his middle name.
Oh.
Thomas Cruise Mapother V.
Interesting.
Legend.
A great guy. What's up?
Is he a great guy?
To me.
No, but I think it's a good thing to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Is he? he's an exceptional person.
Yeah.
He can accomplish incredible things.
Yeah.
Like that Corden video you sent me where he takes Corden up in a like fairly modern jet and flies it with, you know, real expertise.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah. So I just don't know.
Yeah. It's tough to say.
I got two stories that people claim he's a great guy. One, he came to the aid of a Santa Monica woman after a hit and run. He rescued her, put her to the sidewalk. Second one, he helped rescue a family from a burning boat in the south of France. So, I don't know. Seems like a pretty good guy to me.
Yeah. You know, Heisenberg, the guy who was trying to develop the atom bomb for the Nazis, much to like the dismay of all of his fellow scientists at the time, he rescued people out of a burning building during WW2.
So he's a pretty good guy too, huh?
I mean, sometimes incredibly brave people align themselves with questionable ethics, but that doesn't mean they don't have the right spirit. They just might be misallocating it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he probably does have a God complex.
For sure. He was going to be a priest when he was younger.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
But does that God complex, is that why he feels so godly? Because Maverick's a god.
Mm-hmm.
Maverick's some kind of like, you know, daring, aggressive god who just fucking rips shit up and just pushes the envelopes that other humans can get there too.
Mm-hmm.
Can he do that if he doesn't feel like a god?
I don't know. I know he's delivered tons of joy to my life.
The most. Maybe the greatest movie star in history.
Yeah.
And he dropped the trailer for the new Mission Impossible right when Top Gun came out.
Yeah, it looks sick.
I mean, this motherfucker don't stop.
Yeah.
He bringing it.
I don't know.
It's tough to say. I've been feeling thoughtful on large subjects. Like, yesterday was Memorial Day, and I was like, talking to the fellas on Call of Duty, I was like, has the American experiment been a failure in your estimation? Then I realized I was kind of just only curious what chicks thought about it.
Right. Did you get answers?
Yeah, I put it on IG and the vote said 51% yes, it's been a failure, 49% no, it hasn't been a failure. Mm-hmm. Followed by a multitude of people asking me what the American experiment is.
Yeah.
Which I think some of the founding fathers said America is a social experiment in democracy and in,
right,
and in different races and classes interacting and hopefully an equal society. So has it been a failure? I'm like, I dig it.
Yeah.
I would say no, it hasn't been a failure, but I'm probably not the right person to weigh in.
Has it been a failure? I think it's an ongoing process. Like, I don't know if you can conclusively say whether it's been a failure or not. I think every empire, though, every sort of power like that always has a rise and fall. So can it keep going for, you know, can it sustain itself? I don't know. We do seem to be, we do seem to have a lot of infighting, though. But, you know, we have also been through, if you go to, like, D.C., you just remember that you can see that we've been through tough times a lot. We've come out of them stronger, I think. You know, Civil War, World War II, Great Depression, Civil Rights, all that kind of stuff. I think we slowly have inched towards a better America, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But it's like in that podcast, that one, the Shane Gillis one, it's like real change, it doesn't come instantly. It comes, it's very monotonous and slow. I don't know. I think if you think about Americans today, there seems to be a lot of self-hatred, which I'm not a big fan of like our country, because I think, you know, we live here. I think we should do all we can to, you know, try and make it the best place we can. But there's, the issues now are so complex. I don't even know where to begin with a lot of them.
Very difficult
to
weigh in. And very difficult to know who to take your cues from.
Yeah.
I find it almost impossible at this point.
I think the issues are so nuanced too. It's like a lot of people that, you know, there's either like I'm this side or that side. It's like, well, I think there's good side, you know. It's like oftentimes it's like the solution is, you know, kind of in the middle, I think.
Yeah, it depends on the issue, but I don't disagree with you. I'm not someone who I don't like to denounce the person I disagree with.
Yeah.
Mostly because I think you have to, at some point you have to coexist with that person.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more about convincing them to come to your side. And how do you do that? And I think most of the time it's by like being chill and respecting them and then just embodying whatever it is you think they should be doing differently.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that works with like, you know, certain issues can't fit into that idea, but yeah, it's crazy.
I got 2 points for you guys to think about on this. So one would be like, how do you think technology has like changed the evolution of politics? So like now with social media, like people can persuade people in certain ways that like maybe this political system never thought would exist. And then the other thing is like, once you get up to a certain point, most people are like bought and sold. So like a lot of these, some of these people don't even believe in what they're preaching. Just mm-hmm. they have like lobbyists or someone who's paying them a lot of money to say this. For example, like governors in Texas are like super pro gun rights, but like most of them don't even own guns. So it's like, how do you know what's real?
And there's evidence that there's like a documented like reporting that Trump was anti-gun and wanted to go there. And then his team was like, you cannot do that. Like you will lose your base. We're not going anti-gun.
Yeah.
And he just kind of read the tea leaves and was like, all right, I have to stick with it. But to the first thing, social media, I don't know if social media like persuades people to a different perspective. I think it takes someone who's already in a perspective and it just enhances it to its most extreme, which I think is bad. But we're trying to do a project on like social media, and I don't blame social media. I think social media could be a good thing if people were smarter. I think the problem is us. Like we're not good at dosing ourselves with things that are addictive, me especially. And then we're also attracted to like the most extreme information. It gives us the most stimulation and we chase it. Now, social media feeds that, but if it wasn't social media, it'd be like, it's been going on forever, whether it was like TV or newspaper or however people were getting things. I do think technology's made it happen faster and harder, but I don't think, I don't like to blame the mechanism. I like to blame more the user of the mechanism.
Right.
Where I'm like, well, yeah, then use it smarter. And everyone's like, no, it's social media's fault. I'm like, well, what? Like, you can put your phone down.
Yeah.
I could. I don't, but I could if I like really, really tried. But I like it. And I don't think it's made me more extreme. The only thing it's made me more extreme on is all the fucking the dude shit. All the dude shit where like there'll be like last week it was like Travis Kelce. It was a photo of him and his girlfriend. It's like they split up and it's like because he wouldn't give her any money. Mm-hmm. And everyone in the comments was like, what a king. Like, yeah, don't let this woman like, you know, mooch off you or whatever. And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
It's just like thousands of dudes being like, fuck yeah. Don't give her a cent, dude. She's using you, bro. She doesn't deserve that shit. I'm like, what? Why are we? Like, if I didn't have social media, I wouldn't see that or hear that. And it's so like, I don't know. It feels a little too angry to me. But it does bleed in. It does bleed in. I'm like, are they right? Should I not get dinner for a girl? Am I being a bitch if I get dinner for a girl? And I'm like, dude. 34-year-old man, dude.
Yeah.
Buy your dinner. What the fuck are we talking about?
I know. It is always sort of like when you see that on social media. I don't follow some accounts because it's just like it's so toxic. Where you're just like everyone's just so pissed off. That's one thing with social media is that everyone's pissed off. But then again, you know, it's like it's only a small portion of people, like the vocal few. Like I don't tweet my thoughts.
yeah,
and stuff. And I always view people that do as losers. I'm like, why don't you like do something else? Why are you tweeting this shit?
Go find a therapist or something. You know? Yeah.
So I don't know.
But I think, like, I'm not a very political guy, just to throw that out there. But I think to your point of like the self-hate, I think some of it does come from social media.
Yeah.
And it could, like JT said, not be the medium, but more the user.
Yeah.
But I just think that, like, you get sent these videos of, like, shootings or crime, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, my neighborhood is filled with crime. Like, I don't want to live here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it.
No, you're right. It is... Yeah, I guess I do blame the social media, but I think what's the solution to it? It's us. We have to change how we behave. We're not going to change the thing. You right. know what I mean? The thing's going to do what it does. It's up to you. It's like, it'd be like, I don't like crack, but the way I deal with crack isn't by like changing how crack's made or how crack makes you feel. You don't do crack.
Right.
Like, you just abstain from it. I think it's like, if it is this nasty, toxic, addictive thing, it's up to you to separate from it. You can't really, I don't think us going in there and being like, all right, we're going to make Instagram more like this. We're going to make Twitter more like that. It's like, no, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to fix this thing. People want the high of it. They want those ugly parts. But I do agree with you. I do think it fucks with your self-esteem a lot.
Yeah.
But you get big highs from it too. It just depends if you want to strap in for that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, I don't think human beings were meant to be inundated with all the worst things that are happening in the world every day at every moment. You know, it's like every time you go on your phone, you see the worst things that are happening in the world, you know? And it's like, I don't think we're meant to get all of that. It's so much sensory overload. And I think it influences people's behavior. Like you were saying, it makes you think that the whole world is that way. And it's mm-hmm. like, and I think that does influence behavior too, where it's like people are just walking around just being like, the world is burning up, the world is ending right now, you know? And it's like, well, if you're fed information on how terrible, on every terrible event that's happening, then of course you're gonna have that worldview. So I think that's another thing too, is, you know, yeah.
Well, so has it affected what you think a cool life is?
A cool life?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
I think it has affected me a little bit.
Like, what was your idea before?
I think, like, even, like, my artistic ambitions. Like, I think I had a very clear idea of what I thought cool art was.
Yeah.
And then I saw what was popular.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe I should be doing more of what they do.
Right.
You know, like, there's certain, like, influencers or, like, YouTubers where I didn't like what they were doing. I didn't dislike it, but it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And then I saw how much traction they were getting and how often people were bringing them up to me. And it put this little demon in my head that was like, well, you got to do that because I want that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I started chasing that result. I was like, well, I don't want those guys to be talked about more than I'm talked about.
Right.
But I'm like, but I don't even like doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even be good at that if I tried because it's not true to me.
Yeah.
But then in the pursuit of that thing, am I losing
what I like?
My essence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't want to lose that.
No. That's a tough call.
Fuck social media.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
I just think like some of the burn platforms.
Burn it to the ground.
Like with the algorithm.
I just like going both ways.
How like if you like like two things, all of a sudden it'll start feeding you more things like that. I think at a certain point, like, there has to be like some sort of balance, I would say. I don't know how you'd implement it into the app, but like, say like some, going back to like a Texas gun user, say he likes like gun photos, all of a sudden that's all he sees, that's all he wants, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe throw him like a nice picture of a beach or something, you know? Like,
yeah,
take people's minds other ways instead of just like so fully focused on one point.
You know what my search page is? It's like all Brad Pitt and surfing.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Dude, so that gives me a nice worldview.
Yeah.
Like, everything's Brad Pitt and good waves. The one thing that has pissed me off lately, though, is Bieber's fashion transition.
Being shirtless all the time?
No, I respect that. He's going with baggy pants.
I did see
super
that.
Baggy pants. I'm like, Biebs, that's breaking my heart the most, I think. Because I think his purpose era fashion choices Yeah. We're primo. And now he's doing these super baggy pants. So I'm just like, bro, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Mine's all MMA stuff.
Oh, nice.
Which I think is great. Good personalities and good action.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Just dudes slugging dudes.
Mine is like, sounds kind of bad, but just like chicks in bikinis. And it's like, you know, like after you click on a couple, then all of a sudden like my explore page is just like some chick from Tennessee. And I'm like, I'm never going to see this girl. I don't like, why would I give a fuck? You know,
I don't know. I unfollowed some of the, a lot of those. I think when I got in a relationship, just because I was like, this is not healthy for just that, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm not into those gals. Yeah. When I first got on Instagram, I was, but I'm not as into them.
Why is it like the personification of like a beautiful woman or like?
I just don't know if they're like cool or not.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they're a good hang?
A lot of them, I don't think so. I think a lot of them are more into it for like the look or the content instead of like, do you have a good personality? Like, would I want to talk to you? You know?
I think some of them probably do have good personalities. Like, a lot of models are probably pretty cool because they live this like, I think if you live an exciting life like that, you probably learn a lot of stuff pretty quickly about the world and about people.
Yeah.
But it could just as easily insulate you. So I don't know. I don't know if I've met too many of them, but I don't think any of the ones I have met, I've been like, whoa, this is a rad person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been more like, whoa, it'd be cool if she liked me.
Yeah. You
know? Like, that would feel amazing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, but at what cost? Who would I have to become to do that? Like, I don't want to get into hedge funding. That wouldn't be right for me.
Like when you were like, sorry, I don't want to keep controlling the conversation.
I think you're doing a great job.
Okay. But like when you weren't jerking off for like a week, imagine if like your Instagram page.
I still haven't jerked off.
Oh, really?
No.
Congrats. But on the, imagine if your Instagram page was just like full of these models. Like, what do you think that would like kind of like mess with
make
your
make it
mind?
Harder not to masturbate?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. I'd be cranking.
Just like certain problems like that, that they just keep pushing at you.
It's triggering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's bad to like see great male bodies all the time too. That's, I think, just as bad for dudes.
Yeah.
Like you follow all these like muscle head Instagrammers. You're like, fuck, dude. Kettlebell Warriors 55. Look at his thoracic cage. I'm not even close. But then you're like, it'd be cool if he liked me.
Well, then I see Bieber's pants. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening to the world? Yeah. I feel like one of those old guys. You're just like, what are you wearing? What's going on here?
Dude, it's tough being older. It's in the open mic community. Like, you know, there's slotted mics where you sign up and you know how many people are going to be on your hour and it's all listed. But then when we started, it was raffle. So like 50 people would throw their names in a hat and they pull out like one name or three names at a time. And you'd hang around for 3 hours and not know if you were going to get up to do stand up. And now there's this new system where you know when you're going to get up, you know how much time it's going to take. And older comedians are like pissed. They're like, dude, no, it's not right. Like you got to do it in the hat. You got to wait around. You got to not know if you're going to get up. You got to be around your peers. You got to be hanging. You got to suffer those indignities and to really become a good comic. And I always want to be like, well, first off, you're not that funny. And secondly, why? Like, just let it be the new way.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to suffer that way? I don't think it was helpful for me. It was just a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah. It is crazy to think back on those times because, you know, you'd start at like 4 p.m. to like 11 p.m. at least, usually 12. It was very strategic where you're like, I'm going to go to Koreatown, then I'm going to sign up there, then I'm going to go east side, do that mic real quick because I know I can pull that off, and then I'm going to go double back around to WeHo and then hit Koreatown at the end of the night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do think that is different is with the slotted stuff, it seems like that your audience is very sort of predictable. It's going to be all comics. There's really no chance of regular people coming in.
No.
Whereas it's some like Karma, remember Karma? And then like, you know, that wine spot, Ono Vino and stuff. It's like or a lot of the other, it's like you had a chance for some non-comedians to be in the audience, which I think is valuable. Because now at these new open mics, it's sort of, it's only comics because, you know, no one's going, it's just advertised as an open mic. It's not like a bar. So I think that's, I remember going to like Liquid Zoo and Van Nuys back in the day. And it's like, they're like the old drunks who were just hanging out at the bar there all the time. And it's like getting those guys to laugh was like my big goal.
It was fun too, because it was dangerous sometimes. Like one time we did that open, the Lexington in downtown.
Yeah.
And there was a comic on stage and there was a real tough looking dude in the audience who seemed like he was very comfortable with violence.
Yeah.
And the comedian, like, he interrupted the comedian. The comedian talked back to him, and the tough guy just went, "You better shut the fuck up or I'll fucking hurt you bad, man."
Yeah.
And the comedian was like, "Oh, well, I'm just going to keep going." And he's like, "No, you're going to stop or I'll hurt you bad, man."
Really?
And then the comedian was like, he didn't know what to do, you know, because like we feel like it's our responsibility as a comedian to control the room.
Yeah.
But it was pretty clear this guy was going to follow through.
Yeah.
So the comedian was just like, try to make like a weak joke, but he's like, "Okay, I guess I'm done." And then the guy was standing there and he's like, looking at all of us. And he was like, "I don't want any more comedy."
What?
Yeah. And then they called the next guy's name up and no one walked up. Yeah. We all just sat there. We're like, "I don't think we're doing comedy." And then the guy who had been on stage who upset the guy like left because it didn't look like he was going to let it go.
Yeah.
And I was kind of cracking up. I mean, I was scared, but I was cracking up. I was like, "Dude, that guy just ended our open mic."
That's hilarious.
He just came in and was like, "No one's doing comedy anymore. I don't like it." And we're all like, "For sure, dude."
Yeah.
I'll go somewhere else. Dude, pivoting off that.
What's up, guys? I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know once again that we are brought to you by us. We got a new Patreon out, patreon.com/chatgoesdeep, for bonus episodes each week, classic Chad and JT episodes. You don't want to miss out. Become a patron now at patreon.com/chatgoesdeep. We also have tour dates coming up. We're going to be in Houston and Plano on the 17th and 18th. Texas, what up? We're coming in hot. Get your tickets at chatandjt.com. We also have more tour dates that are posted now. Nashville, North Carolina, South Carolina, Chicago, New York is coming up. So check out chatandjt.com for ticket links. We're also brought to you by the one, the only, the Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims pubic, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dink dongles are looking fresh and clean, because Manscaped is making sure that you have a fresh looking dink. They're making sure that your dink looks like a well manicured shrubbery bush outside the Met, you know? And how do you create such a well maintained bush? Well, you get the Platinum Package 4.0, the whole shebang, the whole Manscaped shebang. I'm talking all the elite products. I'm talking the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. Look how beautiful that is. You got the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Look how epic that is. We got the body wash, the shampoo, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Toner, Anti-Chafing Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag to hold your goods while traveling. You guys do not want to miss out. The Lawnmower 4.0 is the best ball trimmer in the game. And if you're not on the Manscaped train, get on it now, because they're the best. And they're covering the best bang for your whole shebang. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GoDeep at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code GoDeep. It's time you enjoyed the finer things in life and get yourself a platinum package for your platinum package. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
Can't believe it took us this long to get to it. You were incredible in Barry.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you watch it?
I didn't.
Dude, you got to watch it. He's so good.
I'm sorry, bro.
You're so good, man. I'm so proud of you, dude.
No, thank you.
Truly, like, brought a tear to my eye. You fucking smashed it, dude.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah, well, I really appreciate that. Thank you. A lot of it was Bill Hader's direction. He just knows exactly what he wants.
He wanted you to have that still kind of vacant delivery.
Yeah, he's like extra stone kind of delivery. But I got to play around with the words. Like, a lot of my improv stayed in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Like your word selection and delivery was perfect.
Like the with NoHo Hank, where I was like, I think the original line was, I know I just met you, but you seem like a great guy. And then he's like, play around with that. And so I was like, oh no, I just met you, but you seem like kind of rad. And they like love that.
It was perfect.
So yeah, but it's really, I mean, they're writing it, like Duffy Boudreau wrote that episode. And I remember reading the sides where I just, you know, he and Bill, I think they came up with that character like when they were shooting episode 4. Because I think the original intention was like, it was basically to get like exposition out of like how each character is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had each character meet with different characters. You know, it's like NoHo Hank was meeting with a different guy, and then Sally was meeting with someone else, and then Barry was meeting with someone else. And they're like, oh, this is a little bit boring. What if we just had them all meet with the same guy? And then they just created this Mitch guy, this character. And it was so fun, yeah. It was really, it's only like a morning shoot, you know.
Did you knock it out in a day?
Half a day.
Amazing. Well, yeah. They're an efficient crew. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean,
yeah.
That gun scene at the end was like so beautifully blocked and executed. It was insane.
That chase is so funny.
It was great.
And I love their, the handoff with the gun. It just killed me. Yeah, a lot of people said that it felt like they were watching a GTA like chase. He's on the motorbike. He's on this dirt bike, and it's like near. But yeah, I mean that show's so well done. So I think it's, yeah, big thanks to all those guys for having me on.
You were
yeah.
so good, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
You really popped.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun. Mitch the beignet guy. I was nervous for it to come out.
Hey, and I know you don't like it when I put juju on things, but yeah. I don't know. I think you know. You know.
What? You know, I thought too, is like, because I don't know if we want to keep this in, but it's similar. It's basically very similar to what we do.
Yeah.
And the people just seem to really resonate with that a lot. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good sign for
our stuff.
What we have coming. Yeah.
It is a good sign.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. That gets me fired up. Good. Yeah. I've been stressing a little bit about that. We have a big yeah. project coming out. We can't say more than that, but it's stressful, man. When you're in this in-between time. Yeah. You live and die on people's reactions too.
Yeah.
You show it to one person and they're like, it's fabulous. And you're like, I'm going to be a huge star.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you show it to someone else and they don't really react. And you're yeah. like, it's going to disappear without anyone knowing. And I'm not going to get another chance.
Yeah.
It's
terrifying.
I mean, this is me like explaining my feelings on it. I mean, I stay pretty steady with it, but it is a roller coaster.
Yeah. I had that with this too. It's cause like I did the shoot, you know, and it's, everyone seemed like when I was on set, you know, everyone was laughing and seemed to really enjoy it. So I was like, but then I know the editing process is just like, you know, you got to edit so that it serves the story is first. So I was like, you know, it's possible I could be cut because, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. They just have to, you know, serve the story. And so I had a ton of that too, just like, or maybe, you know, I was like, maybe it'll be cut. Maybe it won't be as good as like they thought it was on set. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I don't know. But yeah, but it all turned out well. So
that's what I was gonna ask. Are you happy about it?
I'm very happy about it. Yeah, yeah. I was nervous before, but I'm happy. Yeah, and I was able to watch it with my girlfriend too. I was nervous. She's like, we're gonna watch it together, right? I was like, oh yeah, I might hide in the other room, but I was able to watch it. So I was like, it was nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So it was fun. So yeah, all good.
That's
but
good.
Yeah, I mean, it was an honor to work on that. It's so well done.
People were loving it too.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like the comments were.
Yeah.
We need more Mitch. Mitch show. Yeah. Mitch Get a show. Mitch show. Spin off of Mitch.
That'd be hilarious.
It'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool. But thank you, man. You're so sweet and supportive.
I was pretty fired up, dude.
Thank you.
It was good stuff.
Felt
good. I got one more cue before we get into the cues.
Yeah.
Okay, if your life was a movie genre, what genre do you think you're in?
Oh, whoa. You got a lot of mind benders coming out today, in a good way. I think rom-com. What about you?
Hold on. Which, like, kind of rom-com?
Okay, I'd say a guy who's I don't know. I want to sound like corny as fuck here.
I hear you, dude. Maybe, yeah.
Hey guys, is striving for all these sort of, you know, professional sort of achievements, but realizing that all the relationships along the way are what matters most.
A little bit Michael J. Fox in For Love or Money.
Yeah.
Thinks he wants to be a big hotelier or whatever, and then meets the right gal and he's willing to throw it away for her.
Yeah. But I don't want to throw it away.
Well, dude, yeah. My therapist asked me that today.
Yeah.
She was like, would you rather be really famous or in a successful relationship?
Yeah.
And I did not know the answer.
Right.
I do not know the answer.
Yeah. That's tough to say. Yeah, I guess you have to experience both to know, right? Yes, yeah, it's a tough call. I guess what comes to my mind is, you know, being in a really successful relationship is really great. Then I guess what goes to my mind is like being able to afford to live the sort of the lifestyle that you both want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I sort of.
Dude, if I was a movie genre, I think you'd be one of those like. Really talkative plays that gets like where there's like a brutal secret revealed in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would change the ending where it's actually pretty lighthearted.
Yeah.
Sometimes those things like August Osage County, they're in the misery too long. I'm like, let's use the misery to give us some joy.
Yeah.
Let's just feel both sides of it. Or no, if I was a movie genre, I'd probably be like, one of those like Aspen Extreme movies, you know, where like two guys just rip at skiing and become instructors and like meet hot people.
Mm-hmm.
That'd probably be my genre. Is it a good movie? All right, should we answer some cues?
Yeah.
Stokers, write in what movie genre you'd be. I feel like most people are going to say rom-com, right?
I think so.
All right, questions. Fucking in a moving car. Hey, man, why are so many people fucking in moving cars? Don't fuck or suck in a moving car unless you're trying to die or get your wiener chopped off. Actually, you could hit another person, so don't do it all. It happens. Why do people do this everywhere? It's everywhere. It's hot right now, man. Everyone is fucking in cars. I'm 26, and I still see my friends doing this. I know a guy that has a proverbial backseat baby. I don't know why people are fucking and moving cars so much. He just keeps going for a while.
Fast and Furious is huge right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame the vehicle, dude. And I wouldn't even blame the people. Look, sometimes you want to have a little danger in your sex. And it's something that you can lose your privileges for. If you fuck up, you can't do it anymore. But I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, that would be my response to this. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
Did he get hit by someone fucking in a moving car? It sounds like there's an accident.
Yeah.
He's upset about it. And he wrote this right after the accident. And so I would say, you know, file an insurance claim. And, you know, cite specifically they were fucking in the car. And then, you know, move on.
Quick cue here. Is it gay to think the volleyball scene in Top Gun is the greatest scene in movie history? Caught a lot of flack last week from the lads when I made them pause it while I pissed so I wouldn't miss any of it. Not homophobic in any ways. If you guys deem it gay, I would wear it on my shoulders. Just wanted your input. Chad, sick job on Barry. You're a legend.
Oh, thanks. No, I don't think it is at all. It is one of the greatest movie scenes in history.
It's not gay to admire hot men. We all know what a hot guy looks like. They're cool. It's fun to watch them move. That's what they're good at. And it's inspiring. I think when you see Tom Cruise flying a jet or you see Brad Pitt on a horse in Legend of the Fall, it's inspiring. It's like, oh, that's where we could get as people. We're capable of that kind of beauty. You should look at it like a painting almost. It's just It's just something to admire. And I don't like labeling things gay.
No.
It feels childish. Like, we're way past that, dude. Yeah. Your friends are, like, stuck if they're talking like that.
Yeah. I would say, dude, it's not at all. And you should tell your friends that for them to even sort of make claims like that is just, like, stupid.
It's dumb. They're just yucking yums, too. Here's the thing. They all like it. Yeah. Everyone likes it. I don't know. I guess I had a few, like, Latin friends in college who were really averse to man stuff. But they still liked it. They would laugh, but they were just uncomfortable with it.
Everyone likes it. Your friends like it the most.
Yeah, why else would you react to it? Unless it's making you feel something.
Yeah. They like it the most.
Yeah, it's even if it is gay, it's fine. And if you're just super not gay, that's fine too. But don't be labeled. Don't worry about the other thing that you're not. Just let it go. Like, I don't want to pick on hyper straight people either. I'm curious whether or not you've had time to read the last email I sent you. I'd like to show you how you can benefit from creating your own custom fragrance. We make use of a very smooth onboarding system that can get you live in about 2 to 3 weeks. Are you interested in getting started?
Dude, yeah.
There you have it.
Let's make our own Abercrombie Fierce. Chad and JT Stoke.
What up, Chad and JT and any prestigious guests? I apologize in advance for the long email, but any advice would be much appreciated. For context, a group of my friends live together in Chicago. So nearly every weekend for the past 3 years, we roll out about 8 to 10 dudes deep, with the exception of... Oh, sorry, what does this fucking thing keep going? You know what it is? I've been doing this like therapy thing where I have to like say something to myself every hour. Oh, and nice. The alarm rings. And what I have to say is, fuck Puzio. For context, a group of my friends live together in Chicago, so nearly every weekend for the past 3 years, we roll out about 8 to 10 dudes deep, with the exception of 1 to 2 GFs, like a pack of horny wolves ready to hit the bars. The way it's always been, to the dismay of the buyers, whoever buys the Uber to the bars just takes the price on the chin, and the boys will get you a couple of free rounds. Until recently. I'm not sure when this started exactly, but my boys, Chunk and Saggy, two of the more successful guys in the group, love them dearly, started sending us Venmo requests following a night out to split the bill on these Uber rides. I don't have too much of a problem with it until the past weekend when my cousin, dear friend of the squad, also an avid stoker, so shout out Dave, came to visit for a week from California, Sunday morning. As he's boarding his flight back to Cali, Dave gets a text from Saggy saying, blah, blah, thanks for visiting, it was nice seeing you, blah, blah. By the way, you owe me money for the Uber from yesterday. I saw that as total disrespect to Dave as he was a guest, and we were welcoming him back after nearly a year since he moved to Cali. I told Dave not to pay him because nobody else is. Saggy got angry at us for not splitting the bills, so now he's no longer buying the Ubers and expects free rides for the foreseeable future. The Uber in question was only $60. I called him out in the group for being a puss bag, and that resulted in an onslaught of name-calling from everyone, directed towards everyone. A number of the fellas left the group chat and won't acknowledge our calls and texts. I think this is all getting a bit too dramatic. Look, there's different ways of doing things. I'm with you. I like the system where, like, you don't do exact numbers on it, and because it feels a little bit more like fluid. And I get it steals some of the fun from me when stuff gets too, like, prescriptive, and it's like, you owe this much, you owe this much, you owe this much. I like more the eyeball test where it's like, hey bro, you got the Uber, I'll grab this for you, and it's kind of just like a back and forth of gestures,
understanding.
Yeah, but it's not wrong to go the other way. If some dude wants his money for the Uber, you can call him a puss bag, but I would say it with lightness, and I would pay him,
right?
Because he did pay for the Uber. Like, he has a right to ask to be compensated. And now dudes are leaving the group chat like over this.
Yeah.
You don't leave the group chat unless someone like screwed your wife, or like sandbagged you at work, or was like disrespectful to your parents. This kind of thing is a blow by.
Yeah, I would say it's way too dramatic. And I think I like your system more of sort of like the sort of honor system amongst the squad, which is like, you know, keeping sort of a tally of like, okay, you paid last time, I'll get this, blah, blah, blah. But I also think, you know, if someone asks you, if someone paid for something, they ask for Venmo, you know, just pay it. Because if you don't, then that just like compounds the problem. So, but I just think it all got way out of hand. So,
yeah. All right, dude, Chad, what's your beef of the week?
Dude, my beef of the week is with, well, okay. So I'm pretty sure the people in the unit next to me moved out.
Nice.
Now I can't open my garage door. They left me one bad, they left me one parting gift. They're always kind of weird to me. One parting gift. I can't open the garage door. I call the landlord, the property manager. And I'm like, hey, my remote's not working. I changed the battery. And she's like, oh, I know what happened. I think the people moved out, turned off the, I think power got shut off to the garage. The thing is, I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow. I want to bring my surfboard. It's in the garage. And so I called them, and they're being very blasé about it, which I didn't appreciate. Because I'm like, my shit's in there. Let me get in my garage. And they're like, so I called them, and they're like, well, they can get the power on tomorrow. I'm like, well, I'm leaving tomorrow, so we need to get the garage open today. And now it's this whole debacle. I don't know if I'm going to get the garage open. I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring my stuff. I'm pissed. And, you know, these neighbors who live next to me, you know, they didn't talk to me once. Talked to me one time when their hot water went off. And then they leave this, then they lay this shit on me. I'm a nice guy. And your dog sucks.
I felt that.
Your dog sucks. And if I don't get into my garage tonight, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. Now I appreciate the blasé attitude, property managers.
Have you communicated to them how important it is to have your surfboard in Hawaii?
Yeah.
You did?
I was like, you understand, this is Maui. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, no, not okay. You should be out here with a fucking crowbar cranking that motherfucker open so I can get in there.
They should appreciate your values more.
My ice bath's in there. I'm recovering from Vegas. I can't ice. Fuck you guys.
Did you do the IV in Vegas?
I did. Yeah, that's my... Oh, no, that was going to be my baby, but it's not. But I did do the IV, yeah. So I did an IV. I did the anti, like, hangover IV. So you take it after you party and stuff. It was pretty good. I felt a boost to my mood. I felt kind of weird with the whole thing in my arm. It was a huge bag of... It's like, you didn't put the whole fucking thing in me? It kind of freaked me out a little bit, the needle and stuff, but... I will say that I felt a boost in my mood and I didn't feel too anxious or depressed after it. But then the past couple days I've been exhausted, so I don't know if it's worth it or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being candid, I'm sensing that you didn't get
I didn't get what I thought I was going to get.
Right, you had high hopes for it.
Yeah.
You were like, this could be the fucking
thing. Be the ticket. I don't think it is.
Yeah, you'll find it. Dude, my beef of the week. Sorry, guys. Tough guy here. Tough guy's going to be doing the beefs for a week. So we go to see Top Gun. I've already named my other beef, my fellow friends who wouldn't wear flight suits. Hurt me deeply. You know, I'm a tough guy, but when I have high hopes for frivolous fun and other people don't get on board, I take it personal. But all well, all good. We go into the movie. Joe Pelizzone, consistent legend of the week. He bought the tickets, 7 seats. I go in there with them, and we got the seats we think we got, but there's 2 guys sitting in the middle, and they're taking up like 4 seats, and it's these big comfy chairs, but they're laying like this. I mean, these guys are half comatose. The movie hasn't even fucking started yet, and they're laying like this. They're like, And they got food on each side of them. They got like pizzas and like hot dogs. And like, I swear to God, I saw some sausage. They got like pounds of food everywhere. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I'm like, Joe, what's the deal, baby? Joe's like, I got this. Joe's got to go over there. He's got to wake one of the guys up. He's like, hey, buddy, you're in our seats. The guy looks at him with utter confusion. He's like, what do you mean? Joe's like, I bought these seats and I got like seven friends and we're going to sit here. And the guy's like, huh? And I get a little energized when I'm in public and things aren't running smoothly. And I'm like, start tapping my foot. I'm like, what's the deal here, guys? It's pretty clear. We got the seats. And they're like, oh. And Joe's patiently explaining. He's like, look, I bought these seats. You got to move somewhere else. You probably have seats. You should move to those. Finally, the guy goes, okay, fuck. Gets up. On his way up, when he's picking up his 42 food items, knocks over his large popcorn all over my seat. Covers it like a good charcuterie board. You couldn't even see the seat. It was just all popcorn. I'm like, Jesus Christ. They get up and they wobble away. And I go, what the fuck is going on here? Look at all this fucking popcorn. Start moving the popcorn. Joe sits down. I turn to Joe. I go, Joe, what was going on with those guys? And Joe goes, they're super high. Now, look, I like getting stony baloney as much as the next guy. But, you know, you gotta step up. When other people need you, you gotta snap out of that big edible. Even if you're hanging with Eddie, you gotta snap out. You gotta leave Eddie behind for a little bit. And you gotta do your fucking job, all right? And get out the seats and don't spill your popcorn all over my seat. It was adorable, but it was a little frustrating. I was frustrated.
I felt that. So you had to sit in all that popcorn?
I moved it. It was fine, but even more so, the popcorn was like the coup de grace, but like the amount of time it took him to register what was happening was probably 300% over his limit. He just kept being like, huh? And Joe was like, dude, we bought the seats. And the guy was like, I don't get it. And I was like, I'm losing my mind here. I-7 through I-17 or I-7 through I-14. There's our tickets. Nice guy. Chad, who's your baby of the week?
My baby of the week is the other shirtless dude at Limp Bizkit. So I was at Limp Bizkit, bucket list thing, Fred Durst, Wes Borland, Crankin' Heat. What song comes on? The last song, and they play a trick on us. They're like, all right, that's the end of the show. And then Fred Durst is like, wait a second, I forgot something. Starts playing break stuff. Uh-oh. And I look at this other guy who's probably like 35, 40. And I was just like, yes! Take my shirt off. He takes his shirt off. And we're just fucking going ham. And it's I have a video of it. It's pretty awesome. And I just want to give a shout out to that dude. He's my new best friend. And just, it's always nice to find a good, you know, solid 35, 40-year-old dude who can just rock out with, you know?
Yeah, especially if you see him out in the wild like that.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know that guy. Probably a family man, you know. He's probably got a minivan, house, family, some kids. But that was the night he let loose, and he let loose.
He's just looking to explode with vitality.
Yeah.
He's just looking to live.
Totally.
And you gave him a green light on that, to live his life full speed at that moment.
Big time.
Hell yeah. Dude, my babe of the week is Alana.
Who's that?
I got this knowledge courtesy of Hold Me Tight. And she was like, did you know the term incel was first used by a woman? And it was this woman, Alana, in 1993. She was a Canadian university student. And she created a website to discuss her sexual inactivity with others. And out of that, all this other stuff was born. I did not think it was a chick.
Wait, what?
So the word incel and the movement that has been spawned from it was actually started by a lady.
Oh.
A lady was the first incel. She was a late bloomer. And she just wanted to connect with other people on it. And then, it kind of got away from her a little bit. She has a bookshop now. And she says she feels a little bad about where it went, which I totally understand. Sorry, Alana. It's not your fault. Chad, who's your legend of the week?
My legend of the week is twofold. It's the Joe and Strider's podcast.
Nice.
I You know, we've been on Stratus Podcast History is Dank. We've been on a few times. It's amazing. You know, it's like one of the best things. You know, you cover a historical topic and you hang out with the boys. Always good time. Always a fun time. And you guys, check out History is Dank if you haven't yet. And then I had listened to Joe's podcast like the first episode, but I gotta admit, I hadn't tuned in really since then. So I turned it on last week. I'm obsessed with it. It's so good. It's so funny. It's like the perfect vehicle for Joe and his personality. Cause like, you know, it's like what you were saying. It's like he can talk about everyday shit in the most entertaining way.
Where he's passionate.
Like, yeah, he's talking about how much he's like, I got these green beans at this barbecue and they're amazing. These green beans just changed my life. You know, that part about I said last week about my dishwasher not working. I have to retract that. It works. And the guy's like, do you not plug it in? No, it was plugged in. This whole thing. And they're both just so entertaining. So, guys, if you haven't checked out Joe Code or History is Dank, check them out. I was just fucking dying listening to both of them. Very entertaining. Very fun.
Nice.
Check them out. Yeah.
My legend of the week is Dan Milstein, nice. Good friend of ours. Hung out with him on Saturday. I'm proud of him. He graduated from, I think, USC like School of History as a teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to do an incredible workload. He decided to pivot to that during COVID. And I just think he's going to be an incredible teacher. Like, he's such a knowledgeable guy, and he has such good heart. And I think he'll really know how to get the students captivated and not just guide them in their domes, but also in their chess piece. So I'm psyched for you, dude. I think you're going to shred that shit with extreme, extreme erudition.
Where do you know when he's starting to teach?
He's looking for jobs right now.
Oh, cool, cool.
So he wants something in the North LA region, and he wants it to be junior high kids.
Oh, he does.
Which is a big challenge. Because when I was in junior high, that was probably the worst I ever was as a human.
Yeah.
Because you're having grown-up thoughts, but you got a little kid body, and the girls are sprouting up, and all the things that come along with puberty are manifesting, and you're mm-hmm. like, whoa. Because you got some kids who are fucking, some kids who aren't even, it's not even on their radar yet, and they're all hanging out together.
It's crazy. Crazy time.
I got a legend.
Yeah, go.
Legend of the week would be Chad.
Oh,
for a spot on Barry.
Thanks, dude.
In the past 20 minutes or so, I've just been searching the webs of what's going on, and you're the top person talked about on the Barry Reddit.
Really?
I got to show you some of these comments. Really cool.
Whoa,
there's
dude.
Also quite a few different subreddits about you. One of them's like, how would you describe this guy? I need adjectives. And then there's like all these people.
The character?
Just, yeah. And there's like all these people just putting... different like ways they would describe you.
Oh, wow.
And then another one is like, they're like really promoting your guys' stuff too on this.
Cool.
And the largest one, the top post on the whole Reddit, which is you, it says, I just want a whole episode surrounding this guy.
Oh.
And then it's like, look up Chad and JT Go Deep on YouTube. And then it's like, oh my God, when I saw this, all I heard was, what's up, council? And like, there's so many good posts. So
that's cool, man.
I'll show you guys later. But
Barry subreddit?
Yeah, the Barry subreddit.
Very cool.
So yeah, you're the top post and 99% upvoted. So
wow.
99%, dude.
Good shit.
Shout out to the whole Barry team. You guys are legends. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Eat a man.
They really know what they're doing.
Eat a man.
Yeah, oh, thanks. what are you on, quote?
Does that make you uncomfortable?
I'm trying to speak a little bit, I guess.
It is hard, right? Yeah. I feel you, dude. I won't make too big of a deal out of it.
Yeah, thank you.
But you're the man, dude.
Yeah, so if...
now you gotta look at me.
If my property manager has seen Barry, maybe she'll be more inclined to open my fucking garage.
What if we just looked at each other for a minute and started crying? Chad, you're the man, dude.
Fuck.
You're the man.
All right, okay.
Chad, what's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week is from Bill Clinton, because I'm listening to his autobiography. When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, but I didn't like it. I didn't inhale. And also, I want to quote Joe because Joe's so fucking funny on his podcast. They talk about food and stuff. They get emails like, overrated, overrated or underrated Philly cheesesteak? Oh, great question.
It's so funny. That's his essence.
God, I love Joe. And History's Dank is so good too, man. The Joko is so fucking. You got, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
My quote of the week is from the first Top Gun. Stinger, the guy who runs the aircraft carrier, who sends him to Top Gun. He can't believe he's got to send Mav and Goose, these wild cards, to Top Gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, this is from Dan Milstein. He goes, and if you screw up just this much, you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
What a line.
I thought Ed Harris was good in that role.
He was great.
Yeah.
I needed more Ed Harris.
Yeah.
I could have used him throughout.
Yeah.
He's such a legend.
His voice, he should have been a 2-star admiral by now. What happened?
Dude, what about the black dude who's John Hamm's like number two?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, has anyone ever been more perfect for a role than that guy?
Oh, my God.
Every time he talks, he's like, Maverick, you have a mission, and you will accomplish your mission. And you're like, fucking hell, dude. This guy, I'd never seen him in anything else. He's so fit perfect for that.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, dude.
Dude, when they're on the aircraft carrier, he's on that lower level with the two planes. And the guy just appears and gives him the nod. He's just like, oh my God.
A lot of the big emotional moments, they don't say what they're feeling. They just kind of look at each other and they do like that kind of manly, unexpressed thing where they're just like, it's just a nod. It's like, and you're watching, you're like, fucking hell yeah. Chet, what's your phrase that we forget after it?
Phrase of the week we're getting after it is Mach 10.
Nice. My phrase of the week we're getting after it is spoiler, skip this. If you haven't seen Top Gun yet, don't think. Just do.
Dude, so good.
Don't think.
Just do. Hell yeah.
Nice. It was a pleasure flying with you, brother.
See you guys. Pleasure flying with you, Jake. See you on the friendly skies.
See you up there, buddy.
Or maybe they might be hostile, but we'll take them down.
All sounds friendly to me. If you need advice,